So that brings me to my next slide, which is kind of complicated. Usually this is an animated slide, but I wanted to print it all in one where I didn't have to fool with how it was going to print. But I have to figure out how to get the oil or gas from the reservoir, from the subsurface. How do I get it to move from the formation towards the wellbore, into the wellbore, up to the surface, and eventually into the pipeline or the tanks where we're going to sell the oil or gas? That's where my focus is. How do I optimize the recovery from this individual well relative to optimizing the recovery from the entire field? A lot of technical things go on. I do lots of things. I look at how different formations react to each other. But the entire process for me, from a technical standpoint, is understanding how do I manage that pressure loss in the system such that I can optimize the recovery from any particular reservoir. So the integrated production system overall is composed of not only the well, which just simply serves as a conduit to connect the subsurface reservoir to the surface, but it's part of that entire integrated system where we have multiple wells, we have multiple surface facilities, and all of these are used to manage the reservoir and how we get the oil or gas out. Now, you can see highlighted in bold in this particular slide, the reservoir doesn't care about any land, legal, regulatory, state boundaries. All it understands are the physics of how fluid moves in the subsurface. So it doesn't understand, it doesn't see, it doesn't observe any of those kind of regulatory or legal issues that you guys deal with on a regular basis. I do, from a reservoir engineering standpoint, recognize that that reservoir is going to respond due to subsurface boundaries, pressure flow boundary create during the production in my particular system. So technically, when we begin to think about any reservoir or any oil or gas project, most of your operations people, most of your technical people, do not necessarily think about any legal implications of what they're doing. They understand to a certain extent the regulatory and land issues, but that's not what's high in their priority. So we have to communicate on a regular basis what those issues are that we have to be aware of. We're all cognizant of them in a general sense, but specific requirements may vary from lease to lease, from state to state, and if any of us are working internationally between various countries. All of those issues, somehow we have to make sure we abide by, and that's really where our land and legal people really can benefit us when we begin to deal with these kind of activities. So it's not number one in our priorities overall, and that's why this communication becomes so important to us in our activities in the field. So today I want to talk about several issues of interest to me, and I want to share with you my view primarily from an engineering standpoint on these issues, and then touch about some of the conflicts that we may see. We're going to start by talking about commingling. We're also going to talk a little bit about production allocation, horizontal wells, which, as you know, are beginning to dominate what we're doing here in the States. Over the last 10 years, we've seen a total switch of the fraction of horizontal wells to vertical wells going from just 10 to 15%. Now they're roughly 90% of every well that's being drilled. And also talk a little bit about saltwater disposal wells. So let's talk about commingling to start with. Now, like I said in my disclaimer, not all the terms I'm going to use today are consistent with your legal or your regulatory definitions. But for me, when I begin to think about commingling from a technical standpoint, it's just a mixing of oil or gas production from different subsurface sources. So I think about first reservoirs and how we combine those fluids. But it's also, we recognize a commingling or mixing of different ownership interests in those minerals. So we have commingling issues related to our surface activities as well as our subsurface activities. Most of the commingling is done for two reasons. One, for a reservoir management purpose, or for economic reasons. Both of them play a role in how I have to handle my operations in the field, but it also plays a role in how I manage my reservoir. Commingling from a regulatory standpoint and a legal standpoint is going to be based upon any kind of regulatory rules where you're operating, as well as any specific lease provisions. And we hear people talk about pooling and unitization. For me, when I think about pooling, is just an aggregation of various tracts to form a unit that's large enough to meet the regulatory requirements to form a production unit big enough to meet whatever spacing requirements are required. Unitization, on the other hand, is a tool that I use to think about consolidating a number of leases to allow me, from a reservoir engineering standpoint, to manage that reservoir to optimize its recovery. Now, some states have forced unitization. Some states just have voluntary unitization. But from a technical standpoint, if I can operate a reservoir as one big system, then I can do a much better job of optimizing that recovery than if I have one reservoir that has multiple operators all trying to maximize or optimize their own particular production. Because we may have competing interests and we may not do the best in recovering those oil or gas resources.